Stephen Cuffey was a youth minister for Morning Star Ministries. On November 1st, 2002, his church had a prayer meeting that Stephen attended in the morning. And at that prayer meeting, he was so overcome with emotion for the youth that he saw in his youth group, and so overcome with a desire for these kids to know God that he prayed the following prayer. Stephen prayed out loud, "I'd give my life today if it would shake the youth of the nation." This is what Stephen saw as a youth pastor. He saw teenagers who were lonely and starving for affection, who were seeking for that affection in wrong places. He saw teens who were overwhelmed by the stress of life and school and getting into college and performing just right. And so they turned to drugs and alcohol to tame the pain. He saw guys and girls who sought after the newest and greatest phone or car or brand name clothing because they just felt like they had to fit in. He saw girls and guys who were dissatisfied with their weight or their hair color or their eye color. He knew there were people in his youth group who felt deeply the pain of being rejected. Truthfully, teenagers in somebody like Stephen's youth group aren't that all different from the rest of society today. There are so many people in society today that are having these deep feelings of loneliness. Stress and being overwhelmed is a common thing. People are forever trying to seek happiness in all these different places, and when one thing doesn't work, they jump to another and jump to another. If only they could find the thing that sustains that happiness. People have a lack of contentment with who they are and where they are. And so Stephen longed for something different in his youth group. He wanted these kids, he wanted these teens to know contentment. He wanted them to feel joy. He wanted them to know someone loves them with a different type of love, a love that is audacious and patient and real. He longed for this so greatly that he was willing to give his own life if it meant that the teenagers in his youth group and the teenagers throughout this nation would experience something different. That very night, Stephen was in a multi-car accident and died of his injuries. Meanwhile, his best friend, John Mark McMillan, was in a recording studio in Jacksonville, Florida, and he received a phone call that Stephen had died. So the next day, McMillan wrote "How He Loves," the song that Megan just danced to, as a tribute to his best friend. Out of a need to have some sort of conversation with God, he said. He wanted to speak his frustration and his emotions over his best friend's death. And so he pins these words. He says, "And he is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. We are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all." According to John Mark, the love that he's singing about in "How He Loves" is not a pretty Hollywood hot pink love. It's the kind of love that is willing to love even when things are difficult and messy. He writes, This song isn't a celebration of weakness and anger. It's a celebration of a God who would want to hang out with us through these things, who would want to be part of our lives through these things, and despite who we are, would want to be part of us, part of our community, part of our family. It is a song about a different type of love than most people experience. The type of love that we read about in 1 John chapter 4. If you have one of these Bibles, that chapter is on page 863. If you don't have one, you're welcome to get up and get one, or you can just listen along. 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, page 863. I'm going to start in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. This is the other way that Stephen knew about. God is love. Not Hollywood love, not Nicholas Sparks love, not Valentine's Day love. Those types of love always fall short. But God does not fall short. God is love. Amazing, unconditional, pure love. It is a love, the Bible tells us, that goes so deep that it drove someone besides this youth pastor, Stephen, to be willing to give his life so that the world would know a different love. This is how God showed his love among us, the verse says. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God's love is a self-giving, a self-sacrificial love. My guess is that many of you may remember a time when you had your eye on a special someone, a guy or a girl that you really wanted to get to know better. You were pretty sure that you wanted them to return those affections too, and so you were careful to look your best and to act just right, to be funny at just the right places, and just a little bit cunning. And sometimes they loved you back. Maybe enough to even make some type of a lifetime commitment. But either way, it was a lot of work. Here's the alternative way with God. Here's how we attract God's attention. Here's how we get God's affection, the Bible says. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loves us anyways. His love continues on and on and on, regardless of who we are, regardless of what we do. The Message, a paraphrase of the Bible, puts it this way. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we, once upon a time, loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. That is a fierce, compassionate, relentless love. So what does it take to experience this alternative way of living and of loving? What does it take to know contentment and to be in this loving relationship with God? What is our role in this relationship? The Bible here tells us that God's Holy Spirit works in our hearts to assure us of God's love for us. When John Mark sat down and wrote this song, How He Loves, he says he anticipated pouring out his frustrations in a song of lament. What he found, however, was that the Holy Spirit worked through him and reminded him of God's love for him in every situation and every circumstance. Instead of him talking to God, he says, he found God talking to him through these words. The message goes on to say that when we believe that God loves us, when we've experienced God's love for ourselves, then we are called to continue to state openly that the Father sent His Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We're called to profess. We're called to confess. And it says we know it so well, we've embraced it heart and soul, that this love comes from God. That's what Megan did here today. She confessed that she believes that God has loved her since before she was born. That God in His love called her at her own baptism. That God loves her today. And that God will love her in the future no matter what circumstances or situations may come. Today she stated that openly that she embraces this love from God. She is in this relationship with God. You know, sometimes we just need to stop the whirlwind of life and even the whirlwind of religion and just remember and embrace this one simple truth. It's a different way than what the world lives, but there is a way to find acceptance and contentment and a perfect love. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Let's pray. God, sometimes we want to make religion and theology and this relationship with You so confusing. But really, Lord, we just need to come and confess and believe that You are love and that You have loved us so much that You've given Your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Lord, today, may the Holy Spirit work in our hearts that we can come to believe that at a new level. And sometimes, Lord, we make love so confusing too. We try to make it about something that we're earning or something that we're doing or something that we're being. And Lord, I'm so glad that Your love is compassionate and relentless and unconditional and patient. That Your love is a gift to us. A gift of Your grace. Teach us to accept it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.